This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 245. It's May 11th, and it's the year 2020. Wow, look at Brian holding a Game Informer. Did you just get suckered at a GameStop, or what happened there?
Why do you this is still going on. I picked this. I got my membership. Back in February.
Right.
They keep sending these things.
That's still a thing. You can read those.
They keep sending them to me, and I keep throwing them away.
Well, the rumor is they fired like half the writing staff, so you're probably okay. You probably don't need to worry too much about what you've missed from the Game Informer, because it sounds like Game Informer might not be long for this world. It's a GameStop publication.
It is. It makes me sad because I love magazines, and then I realize I hate magazines.
Yeah.
You know, you do that, you're like, oh, I miss the days of reading magazines, heading to the... And then you remember, oh yeah, there were like $6 and most of it was advertisements.
Yeah, when you actually get one in your hands and you read it, it's not really that cool. Like, you kind of are okay with your phones and your tablets and your computer screens.
Tell you, last time a magazine was cool.
Tell me. Give it to me.
Omni Magazine.
Omni Magazine was cool. Did you know that was published by Bob Guccione, the founder of Penthouse Magazine? Did you know that?
I did not know that, but that explains the deal they gave me on the Penthouse Magazine.
Yeah, no, that was his thing, man. He was all into science and was doing the science magazine. It was a great magazine. Omni was great, but I'll tell you when the last great magazine was. And I 100% believe this. So F your idea. Here's my idea, okay? Idea is much better. My favorite magazine of all time, the paper quality, the cover, and my interest being covered so much was Next Generation Magazine. They called themselves Next Gen, and they shortened it. But it was Next Generation Magazine. It launched right around the time the PlayStation 1 was being rumored, N64 was being rumored. Like, this was early days, and they were calling it Next Gen, and man, oh man, I love that magazine. It was like, the cover was made out of this silky, smooth material, vellum material.
Yeah.
I still have a whole stack in a box somewhere. I should go through those sometime.
Oh, I wonder how they held up, because he always talked about it. It was all like, oh, we got these new covers on here because they're supposed to hold up. But now we can actually put it to test and go, let's see how these vellum covers really held up.
Yeah, we'll see how the Virtua Fighter cover held up. I'll pull that out and have it here next week for our show. How about that?
Do it.
Okay.
Bring
it
home.
Well, speaking of shows, let's do one of those right now. Time for some video game talk. So we did miss last week. That sucked. I wasn't happy about it. I had a meeting and I had to be at it, and then a bunch of art I had to do.
Pre-showed us a bit. It is always bad and good. It's bad because we miss you, but it's good because I had a little longer to play the games this week. So
you had time to consume the games that we sometimes just
mass quantities.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time sometimes. We have to just cursorily jump through them and play a few levels and then hope to discuss it on Monday, but we've had a little more time with the games we played, which is cool. I'm going to start with one that I'm really happy about, and I hope more people discover it. It's going to be a hard push given their indie status, and it's a small release, although it is a big multi-platform release, but you kind of need to know what it is, and to know what it is might mean you may have played their previous game, Crashlands, but if you haven't played it yet, you are going to want to play the game Levelhead. Have you heard of Levelhead, Brian?
Levelhead. I think I saw it on the suggestions somewhere on one of the stores, and I thought it looked interesting, but I wasn't sure yet.
Well, let me tell you what's going on here. So these guys, again, famous for Crashlands. Crashlands was this cool game that was on mobile and PC and Switch and PS4 and Xbox and everything, that it had this great cross-platform save system, but it featured sort of like a, not Minecraft, but more like survival games like, what's a good example? What's a good example of a survival game? Like,
Don't Starve.
Don't Starve. What else?
Is that too much? Are you like thinking like almost like a first person kind of?
You know what?
You start out.
You're right.
You start out naked.
Nope.
Like
you're right.
Or
Don't Starve is the better. That's a better example. Don't Starve is totally the example. Except it's a little less hardcore than Don't Starve. You have an unlimited inventory. You don't have to starve yourself to death. Like there's some things about it that are different. Well, their next game, which I was highly anticipating because I really like these guys and I can't wait to see what they do next, looked like just this 2D platformer. And I thought, well, that's weird. Yeah. Is that all you're going to do? Just a 2D platformer after your really inventive other game? And
I looked at it the same way because I saw the little advertisement. And I thought, oh, he looks cute. I'm like, I don't really like playing some little simple platformer.
Yeah.
Where everything's
do you know what
repetitive.
This is? Do you know what this is?
What's that?
This is a competitor to Mario Maker. That's what this is.
What?
Yeah. And
now that's a gimmick.
It is a gimmick, one I can get behind. I really like Mario Maker, but there are some things I don't like about Mario Maker, and this game does a lot of neat things to that sort of, I don't know, quality of life stuff that Mario Maker should do and doesn't do, and this game has decided to go ahead and do. There are little characters, this little robot. You're supposed to be delivering a package in each level scenario. You can fight bosses and mini-bosses. I mean, basically, it's a platformer in the Mario vein. They're platforms and fireballs and all the stuff you're used to dealing with in
but you're a little robot with like a little emoji eyes, like,
yeah, you're a little robot guy, and when you get to the big finish, you go on to the next level. Now what makes this interesting is there's a whole campaign there if you want it, if you want to play that, right? It's just built into the thing, so you can play a bunch of that, or you can really dive in and build stuff. So this is where things get really interesting. The game has a pretty insane editor, like to the point of mind-boggling control over things, including programmatic things. Like if you push this trigger, let's label it A, and now any target object that we want to behave in a certain way, we will label as A also. So now this switch works on anything labeled A, which might be
this
a
is
bunch
almost
of,
like a game designer than a level designer.
A little bit.
Mario Maker is.
A little bit. Mario Maker is a little bit more like, hey, or Super Mario Maker 1 and 2 are a little bit more like, hey, what if you took all the stuff we already do in Mario games and let you just kind of mess with those? And that's great because it's Mario. It's the greatest character in the history of video games.
Of course.
Like, I don't want to poo-poo on why Mario is great because Mario is great. But what makes this special is the editing tools in here are superior. Sorry, Nintendo. They just freaking are. And whether you're using a controller or in my case, I'm on PC. It's on Game Pass for free, by the way. I should have mentioned that.
Maybe that's where I saw it was on the Game Pass.
Yeah, you might have. It's on Steam. It's $20 everywhere else. Steam, mobile, Switch, PlayStation. And I think I meant
pretty much everywhere.
I think that's
right?
Everywhere.
No mobile, right? Because it looks pretty.
No, it is on mobile. It's not the optimal way to play. It's okay.
Right.
Like they do a pretty good job, and you can always sync a controller to your phone, so no big deal. But I think you'd probably rather play this on a controller based device, or console or PC for that matter, which is where I'm playing it.
There's a little robot guy, as they say, woo, every time he jumps because he makes a little face like he goes, wah!
Not really. I mean, he's pretty adorable. And the whole thing's pretty tongue-in-cheek sense of humor. It's a lot of sort of, we're here at delivery whatever. We're the greatest in the world, and you got to train your robot to do the thing. It's like watching Viridian Dynamics videos for Better Off Ted. So it's pretty silly. You know, they've got a good sense of humor about it. What again makes it special is these huge leaderboards and creator boards where people, players out there, the community are building these amazing levels that just are mind-boggling, and they range from everything from just really fun, interesting, creative levels to impossible, really hard, oh my gosh, we're all gonna die kind of levels, which there's, you know, people like that in general. It's got a great, here's the other thing, this is one of the nice things about it, you're playing along in this game and let's say you die, okay,
right?
You don't
Which
go.
Sucks.
It doesn't fade. You don't go do 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 do, and then it fades out, and you have to go start at the last thing. You immediately game kind of Meat Boy style, just immediately back in. You just start playing from the last checkpoint immediately. There's no loading. There's no waiting. There's no telling you how many lives you have left. You just go and get back in. So on really hard levels, that's just a an amazing addition to this game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because that's what's so fun about Meat Boy is it's that grind. It's literally a grind in Meat Boy. It's just like, I'm never stopping because I'm still jumping. I haven't stopped, even though I died.
Yep. This is true. By the way, it's not. It's available on either Ultimate or just regular Game Pass. Someone in the chat says it's on Ultimate. It's free on any Game Pass version of Game Pass.
Okay,
you just play it. Or when so I say free,
Ultimate
it's
actually means on all, right?
Whereas yeah, the, Ultimate gives you
the
Xbox.
Standard just means piece. Just means the Xbox console.
Yeah, or you can get just Game Pass for PC, which is just the PC stuff.
Oh, that's right.
And that one's only $5. So if you, I don't even have an Xbox One, so I play everything on the PC anyway. So that's how I do it. It is just amazing, dude. It's so cool. You would have so much fun creating stuff in here.
I wish I had done a better job selling it to me because I did see it. And I believe I saw it on both the Xbox Game Pass and on the Switch. And both times I passed it up because I was like, I'm just not in the mood for a, you know, a straightforward platformer. But if they had said, look, all these level design things, it might have would have piqued my interest. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing, is this kind of like an afterthought, like in a Little Big Planet where you make everything like community stuff later on and you get to play some like huge campaign first, or is it pretty much just straight into the level?
There's a tutorial that takes you through basically all the aspects of the game. Some of that includes some actual gameplay, but when you finish this tutorial, and it's not super long, you're left to do whatever you freaking want to do. So if you want to just go make levels, you can. If you want to go play other people's levels and sort them in all kinds of weird ways and look for people's weird tags and all that, you can do that all day. There's leaderboards, so if you just want to compete in those, you can do that. Or you can go run their built-in campaigns just for funsies and do that. Pretty much whatever you want to
do. Do you know what game engine this is built on? Is it because it sounds almost like it's...
Game Maker,
okay. Okay, interesting.
Apparently that thing's pretty robust these days.
It is, yeah. Game Maker is pretty cool. It looks like they've made the best use of Game Maker, and they've pretty much just made a Game Maker of Game Maker. Yeah. They said, here you go. We'll give you a little bit of tutorial here, and there you go. Play some games and get in there with the community.
Yeah, and chat room now showing you some of the... I've been showing a lot of gameplay and no tools.
Oh, there we go. That's the editor there.
Yeah, and you can do like select and copy and paste and duplicate.
Copy and paste? What is this newfangled technology you discussed?
Just like really fast tools. Like you can create a whole level and then dupe that whole level and just go, all right, here's the level, but now it's a little bit different. And instead of having pipes to go to different places like you do in a Mario game, you got like a rift in the wall or in the side of a thing. You can create those.
It's kind of like a portal almost.
Yeah,
somewhat,
like a little portal thing. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So you can have lots of linking stuff, and you can create, you know, the whole worlds add on that they just did for Mario Maker, where you can make your own worlds and then sub levels. This has that built in. If you want to make a bad guy and he's the little version of the bad guy, you can just make one of him. But if you want to make a bigger version of him, you make four of him in the grid, and he'll become a big fat one.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, and then you do it again, and it was a giant one. Like, you can do all that kind of stuff. It's
that's pretty smart scale wise because I'm sure he probably has twice, you know, or quadruple the hit points and everything else. And that's interesting.
Yeah, and I play it with mouse and keyboard in the editor, and then controller when I play, and that's a great combo because mouse and keyboard is just, you're just basically painting with your mouse. It's great. Works out real well. Lots of shortcut keys. Controller works fine, but if you've got both, you may as well do it.
I'm glad you brought this to us, and I'm glad I'm going to play this now, and I wish they would have called it something with a better title and maybe had a little bit better marketing.
Levelhead's a good name. You don't like Levelhead?
Levelhead's a good name, but it doesn't tell me what it is. So when I'm passing it by the store, I don't go, like, Meat Boy. I'm like, Meat Boy? What is this? Mm. I've got to stop and look at Meat Boy. But Levelhead, I'm like, oh, look, another platformer.
What would you call this if you had a chance to name it, rename it? What would you name it?
I don't know. Just a quick way. Let's see. How about Level Maker?
Level Maker.
Something that said the thing in the thing in the title, at least Level Maker, even though I'm sure it's taken. at least I would know. It's like, oh, okay, this is like a co-op experience that where you would, you know, make a thing. Mm. Just saying.
Oh, you can co-op too. I should have mentioned that. You can totally
play in
there.
What I'm saying. I mean, mm-hmm. you want, if you can't find something, it's just an okay name. But like I said, in such a crowded marketplace, like the like
that's
on the
why
Switch.
It's hard. That's why it's hard. What else? What other names are you going to come up with? Because it's hard, right? Like doing anything right. new, first of all, and even if you can't do new, you got to go short. Nobody likes long,
right?
And you know, Mario had it easy with Mario Maker. We all know Mario. You can't get away with it. You know, away from it. It's the greatest marketing in the world. So I don't know what they would have called it. I would have called it Level Head and been okay with it. But I understand what you're saying. I get it. I totally get it.
Level doer.
Oh boy.
Level doer. That's level a, do. I would stop on level do. I'd be like going whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Level do. Whoosh. What does that say? Level do. Does that say like do do?
Do do. Yeah. Do do. That's the one. All right, Brian, tell me all about, I meant to pick this up, but I didn't. I saw it was on sale. Remnant from the Ashes. This is like a last year game.
It is like a last year game, but it's a new year for me, man. This is Remnant from the Ashes is on the Xbox Game Pass, not the Ultimate and not the PC version. You can pick it up on Steam, I believe, maybe even the Epic Game Store. The place I think I first saw it was on the Epic Game Store. This is a third person Souls-like game with bullets. So you know the Dark Souls series. You played that before, right?
Yeah, I'm not good at it at all and kind of hate them. Tell me why I would like this.
Well, you know what? If you hated those, you're going to actually like this a little bit, I think. And the reason why is not because of the dark storyline where there's a multidimensional Earth that has been invaded by the Root, and the Root has pretty much destroyed all of humanity, and you're just a remnant left. We're dystopian future. Now, where it kind of varies.
Hold on,
off
who's the Root? It's the band for the Tonight Show, right? That's
who
that
it
is,
right? But okay. In this case, it happens to be some of these Ent-looking, Groot-looking bad guys who are kind of like they've got fire in their bellies. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So they have root. Yeah. They're literally made of roots.
I think they're made out of some kind of root, even though they look more like stone or ash or something, but they're called roots.
Okay.
So these interdimensional beings have come to Earth and have wreaked havoc. And you're not the first hero to go against the Root, but you are the most current one. And you get to choose from such great classes as, hold on, let me see. See if I can have them pulled up earlier, but there's three different classes you can play. By the way, you can play this either single player or
co-op, right? Yeah.
Yeah, local co-op. Yeah. Or actually online co-op.
It's online, yeah.
Can you play local co-op?
It's online.
So anyway, yeah. So the first thing I noticed was like, first thing I noticed about this game, I was like, okay, it's kind of dark. I'm okay with that. Palettes are kind of dull. I'm all right with that. You know, it's supposed to be Remnant from the Ashes. I get it. You're going for a particular style.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I get to pick my look of my character. That's okay. Just a little few choices. Most of them are kind of beefy looking, you know, kind of generic kind of looking guys. And I was like, oh, classes. Here we go. Now I can really separate myself from the others by picking my classes. Well, let's see here. There's a hunter. And I'm like, all right, hunter. What does he do? Well, he uses guns and, you know, some, you know, knives and that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, cool, cool, cool. Well, how about a scrapper? What is that guy? He's like the next one over. Well, he uses guns and knives.
Is it me or does the game look a little flat graphically? Like it's not super textured.
It does look kind of flat graphically. I agree. That's what I was trying to tell you. It's kind of dull looking, but the graphics aren't my favorite part of the game, but it's okay. It's good enough because the part this game really shines on is not the story. The story is kind of like, I don't really want to read all this. It doesn't sound very interesting. I'm running into some NPCs that are kind of setting up the story and how they'll, you know, how they'll interact with me and how they'll help me modify my guns as I go along. Yeah. You know, that stuff is very interesting. I did not get really interested until I actually started playing the gameplay. Mm. The gameplay is so much fun. The pacing is so perfect. It is just fantastic. This game, I think, is going to be the first one of a good IP if handled properly from Gunfire Games developer. It has a heart and soul of gaming, soul-like, that is just a lot of fun. It's a soul-like, but you're getting to use guns.
It sounds better than just a regular old Souls-like, because I don't like those.
Right.
They make me angry, because I die a lot,
yeah.
They're punishing. And F those. Do not like them.
Right, right. And you die some, but the penalty's not too harsh. They'll throw you back to like these soul stones or hearth stones or whatever every time you die, and you have to kind of go back in. Oh, by the way, when you're playing this
game, should say, by the way, just to stave off the anger, I know that this is a very popular genre and subgenre of gaming, and I understand it, and I appreciate it, and I respect it. I'm just telling you they're not for me. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they're not for the people listening, because clearly they are. This is a me problem. Right. Okay, disclaimer complete. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Now, I'm with you. Souls games, Souls-like games can be pretty hard, and sometimes kind of a turnoff to me, because I'm like, okay, I don't want to have to be grinding through certain areas, you know, and feel like I'm not making any progress. And some people do it better than others. This game, I think, like I said, it does it very well. I felt like I wasn't overpowered. I felt like I was well-balanced. Every time I entered into an area where I would be fighting hordes and bosses, I felt like I had a chance. Now, it wasn't like I just walked in and mowed everything down, but I always felt like I had a chance. And so that always felt good. And if I did die, the penalty wasn't very, very large. It would drop you back out to, like I said, a little soul stone. You had to run back in and complete it. By the way, each campaign is randomly generated, not the environment necessarily, but where the bosses and the hordes pop up at, as well as any loot you're getting.
That's cool.
It's randomized. So even if you're playing with somebody on their save, and I think this is done through maybe peer-to-peer, because you're like playing on someone else's save, so you're not like playing on a server. So if you go into someone else's campaign when you're co-oping, the bosses and things will be in a different area, and the loot will be in a different area than it would be when you're playing locally. Which was kind of one of the bad things I didn't like, because it kind of made some of the environments kind of boring, because, you know, you've got to have things spawned randomly. And so you're kind of limited a little bit more with how things are. So you have these artificial blockades where you get to a certain area and you're like, oh, I can't get past this part because there's like a bunch of trash in the way, but it's not very organic. I'm complaining about a bunch of the stupid things because this game's gameplay is so much darn fun. I don't want to sit here and talk about how fun the gameplay is, because you can't experience that through me telling you. I'm telling you, give this game 30 minutes of your time and get past the NPC introductions and everything, and get past that and just play a little bit. And just the snappiness of the gameplay itself is just so much fun.
All right.
I really dug it.
You didn't feel like you were just constantly being mowed down and destroyed?
Absolutely not. But you level up slowly, but there's not like a skills or a talent tree necessarily. It's more like it unlocks certain skills as you go along. When you beat a boss or something, may unlock a skill where you wouldn't have if you were playing another campaign.
Yeah.
And so you kind of go along a little bit, and there's also weapons modifications, so you can modify your gun so you're not just shooting something, you're shooting with bullets that burst into flames and things.
Sure.
And so it's like I said, my character feels well balanced. The gameplay feels really well balanced. And the stamina, which you can increase as well, that's the most important parts, is your stamina, to make sure when you get into a fight that you can roll away or get away, because there's a lot of times you get in a fight and if you haven't played very long, your stamina's not very well built up, and so you'll get in a situation where it's like you're running but the boss is right behind you, and it's kind of fun because he's like on your tail, and you know, you just, how do you get away? You can't, because every time you dash for half a second, your stamina goes down, and then the boss is like right on your heels. And it's like I said, the gameplay itself is just phenomenal. I think they've got something good here if they revisit it.
All right. And I'm into
beef
it.
Up everything
I
else.
May have to finally grab it. Isn't it on sale right now? Hold on.
I believe it was recently. I'm not sure if it's on sale today or not. But Remnant from the Ashes is the name of the game. It's on the Xbox Game Pass. Gunfire Games is the developer. So far, I've had a good time with it. I'd like to go a little further. I've only played single player. I've watched a little bit of co-op play, and that looks fun. But you know me, I like to feel fairly competent as a solo player before I go in and play anything else. Oh, that third class I never mentioned, by the way. They got the Scrappers.
Yeah.
The Ex-Cultist.
Yeah.
And the Hunter.
Nice.
And they're, you know, they all have varying degrees of gun proficiency versus melee proficiency, and they're pretty, they didn't seem like anything didn't really stand out. Usually when you see classes, you're like, oh, boy, I'm going to have to make a really hard choice here between, you know, magic or gunplay or different things. No, these guys are all seem fairly in the same range.
By the way,
go ahead.
That game is currently on, I think it's on PC Game Pass as well.
It could be, but I didn't see it at the time. It was only on the Xbox Game Pass because I was going to play it on my PC, and I didn't see it there, and I was going to pick it up on the Steam Game Store, and just never got around to it.
I will have to dig around and see, because if it is, I think I may play that ASAP.
There's some new DLC as well. Midget Wookie in the chat room just mentioned as well. That's the thing, I think, that pushed it over to the Game Pass was the fact that the DLC just came out, and they're trying to...
Okay.
Push that.
I'm into it. Very into it. I want to try it now. You know, you've got me. And it looks like a little post-apocalyptic in there, which I'm into.
Oh yeah. It's got the story painting. The way they're painting the story when you first start, it feels really good. And the music, by the way, is really good. I like the music. The music is awesome.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's painting this really big picture, and then they kind of go like, and yada yada yada. And they kind of, they just kind of start into the gameplay because of it. But I would like to see them to develop more of it. And it's like I said, it could be a great IP.
All right. Well, I got this to say about, I forgot to say this about Levelhead earlier. Okay. Two things. One, doesn't matter what version you're on. Let's say you own it on every platform. Your stuff and your creations and your scores and all that stuff transfer to all platforms. They're all connected. So if you have, if you make levels on your Switch, and you want to go play them on the PC, no problem. You want to do it the other way around, great. It's all connected to their Butterscotch Shenanigans account thing. That's the name of their...
It's called the Butterscotch Shenanigans?
Well, that's the name of the developer. So they...
Okay.
I forget
okay.
what the name of the actual membership thing is, but... and that was the other thing I wanted to say, is they have a great logo that sounds like this.
Butterscotch Shenanigans.
It's really great. I like that.
I do like that. I like that.
All right. Next up for me is... Avernum, Escape from the Pit.
Oh, I think I've seen this one too.
It's old as dirt, and I don't mean just in age. It came out in 2012, so it is kind of old, but it is like old looking.
Right.
It is Spiderweb Software makes these games, and they make they got a ton of these. This is just one of a big series of these games that they've been making for, I want to say since the 90s.
Have you told me this before? Because it's like I've seen this before.
We've
talked about
it. Hold on, my freaking iPad thinks I'm talking to it. not this one. We've talked about their, I think one of their other games, which was Avedon. I think the Avedon series we've talked about. They all use this weird, ancient-ass, ugly PC-looking system that is just ugly, and they know it. They'll tell you that.
Right, right.
There's nothing about this that's like cutting edge graphically or anything. It's a party-based, turn-based RPG of the old school style, like, you know, Baldur's Gate kind of zone.
Yeah, it looks like Baldur's Gate, right? It's kind of like at that...
A little bit. Like original Baldur's Gate, style.
Original
Baldur's. It's very old. Graphically, it's nothing special. Sound-wise, it's pretty basic. Where it shines are the systems... The RPG systems, that is to say, like, you know, character abilities and the leveling up stuff, as well as the story. The story is so good. These have all been good. And I think that's why they've got their little following. They've got kind of a great following to be able to make money making these games for all these years. This thing's like $10. And I really like them because it's like one of those old games, but they don't even pretend to be cutting edge. They're just like, yo, what if everything looks like shit, but it's still really fun? And I say, all right, I'm in.
Said, all right, sign me up.
Yeah, it's a very cool thing. I like it a lot. And
now you play this on the PC?
PC, yes. Now they have it on PC, they have it on Mac, they have it on iOS, it's on Steam, you can get it off their website, they have it on Android, I think. This sort of thing.
Is this their own game engine or something, or do you know?
I
always mean to look that up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's their own thing. I can't imagine it's not.
It looks like something they designed themselves from scratch.
I'd have to look it up, like, but it's, you know.
In the basement in between D&D sessions.
And it's pretty versatile. For some reason, the video I'm showing right now is a fight in a single room, and I don't know why that's the one I'm watching. They have lots of other content.
I'm getting a gauntlet feel right now is what I'm getting without... Yeah. Oh, well, wow. Why is it shaking? What happened there?
There was a big explosion. A mage launched a thing and blew up a thing. There's a major
story
point.
Was it a magic missile?
No, it was something. I can't remember. And they don't. It's not like this is licensed or anything. This is just their own magic systems, their own battle systems, that sort of stuff.
Right, right. It's kind of hard to deny that this game's got its own style. I mean, but this is the kind of game where you play it, and you play it for like 2 or 3 hours, and then you try to go play something else, and you go, I can't play something else right now because I've had to buy into this.
Yeah.
This feeling.
There is a feeling about it. You're right. And also the story is compelling enough where you just kind of forget about how it looks. It doesn't matter after a while. Like you're just sort of, I don't know. It's like D&D. You're just sort of into right. what you're doing and not how it looks. So
why is your central health bar there? It looks like the central health bar. It's a big old peace sign. What is that all about?
Oh no, that's so that toggles on combat mode and then just not doing anything mode. So when you turn on that peace sign, and you can't do it unless you're done fighting. But once you're done fighting, that peace sign flips over, and now you can just
anarchy.
You just walk. It's just no longer turn based. You can walk around at will.
Oh my God, is that a cat guy? They just threw up a character sheet, and it looked like
There's a cat guy. There's a lizard guy. There's humans. You choose all this. You can custom make all your own dudes at the beginning. Like if you played a CR or a computer RPG, in the last 30 years, you know what the hell you're getting into here.
Right.
And it's a really good series of one of those. And they got them again. All these are on Steam. You go learn more about them. You certainly get more than what this particular clip is showing us, which is just this the one room.
But all I'm seeing is a bunch of Thundercats and maybe He-Man there, I think.
Yeah,
and
a little bit of that.
Looks like the guy from He-Man, the Merman, what was his name?
Merperson.
No, it wasn't Merman. It was something like that, though.
It was like Merperson, wasn't
it? Right, Merperson. It was something stupid like that. Yeah. Dude.
So Hank B. Lovecraft in the chat says, next week can we cover Levelhead? Were you not here earlier?
I think they're making fun.
I'm giving him a time out.
Everybody's pretty convinced that, like I am, that you've talked about this one before.
Oh, I promise you, Escape from the Pit, I have not, because I didn't own it before.
Now, maybe not Escape from the Pit, but I think maybe the same game engine. That's the reason why I didn't say anything else. But that game engine looks totally familiar. When you said it, I was like, yeah, I've seen this game.
Yeah, recently. I probably talked about Abaddon, the Black Fortress. That's probably the one I talked about before.
Probably so.
Yeah. Totally different game. Same engine. Same kind of systems, but completely different world and story. So
come on, can't you see?
It's like saying, okay, you guys, I'm here to talk about Fallout 76. Psst, you talked about Fallout 2 already years ago. It's a different game. It's a different game. It totally counts. Plus, I like it, so F off. That's
Plus
what I play.
Plus, I like it, so so back off.
Yeah, so F right off. It's old school as hell. I like old school stuff. The 90s were cool. Play it and you might like it. And they have some new thing out this last year that I didn't look at yet that's apparently okay, but I haven't seen it yet. All right.
I'm down with it. I'm down with it.
All right, what else we got here? Let's talk about Deliver Us to the Moon. No idea what this is.
That's not Deliver Us to the Moon, it's Deliver Us the Moon.
Oh, the moon. Give us
Bring
the moon.
The moon on, man.
Okay, tell me about the moon.
Well, as you may or may not know, my Xbox Game Pass is expiring this month. So I've been playing a lot of Xbox Game Pass. And this was one that was on there. It is by a game developer that I cannot pronounce, but I think it's like Kyokin Interactive. Close enough. This is a first-person, third-person action mystery game.
It looks third-person to me. When do you do?
Well, it is right now, but it flips back and forth. I have a theory about this. You're usually playing third-person when you're always playing third-person when you have your spacesuit on. But when you don't have your space suit on, it's first person, so you can't see yourself. Mm. You don't know what you are. You might be an alien. Anyway, this is in the near future, around the 2030s and 2050s. We found, as a human race, we have found that there's helium H3 up there on the moon, and we found a way to beam that back down to Earth. To power everything, because we've burned through our fossil fuels. So they've taken a little gamble here with the story and said, you know what, near future, this is what's going to happen. So recently, though, in around 2060 or so, when you wake up and end up in this little adventure of a lifetime. You are training to go to the moon to find out what happened to the moon base that's up there because they stopped sending power and the world is falling into chaos. Mm. Oh, no. Right? Okay. So, first thing you have to do is you have to figure out how to get yourself to space. This is a solo game. I don't know if you can play multiplayer, but I only played it solo.
Yeah.
Solo by myself. I played a lot of it, by the way. But it's a pretty short game, I think, relatively speaking. I think the how long to beat was only like 12 or 13 hours, and I'm pretty close. I put in about that last week in this game. I streamed it several times. You're going along, and you're exploring, and you interact with computer terminals, and you figure out what you're supposed to be doing through notifications there, as well as you walk through these areas where there'll be like a waveform. You've edited music before,
sure.
Right? You ever done that?
All the time.
Yeah. So you know how the little waveforms look, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're making those right now. As we talk, we're making waveforms.
We're making waveforms right now. So you'll walk through a waveform and then you'll get your little, you know, like you get your little Fallout 76 or your Fallout game where you'll get a little bit of dialogue about what's going on, finding out all about the characters and stuff. That's the same thing. You get right. That.
Yeah.
So it'll tell you about what you got to do. So,
is it scary or just adventure-y, or what the hell is the tone here?
Puzzle solving adventure. Let me see exactly what Steam says about this. Deliver Us the Moon is a sci-fi thriller set in an apocalyptic near future where Earth's natural resources are depleted. A lone astronaut is sent to the moon on a critical mission to save humanity from extinction.
Wow.
But to me, it's mostly a third-person adventure. Where you're trying to solve puzzles to get to each area because you're supposed to be well-trained, but I'll tell you what, you aren't because they're training you on the job. You're getting a lot of on-the-job training. Like right now,
yeah,
if you're watching the screen,
you'll see me trying
to jump on a ladder.
Yeah, you broke right. A ladder. Well done on that.
The ladder's broke.
Yeah.
And so I had a backtrack to figure out what was going on. Mm. But the fun thing about this game is you don't just play on the moon or on Earth. You're constantly changing environments, which means that the way you have to control your character is constantly changing. Right now, I'm playing on Earth, and, you know, gravity's in effect. Why I'm wearing my spacesuit already? I don't know. But once you get in the spaceship, gravity changes a little bit. When you get in outer space, changes even more. When you're on the moon base, sometimes you have gravity, sometimes you don't. It's according to how much damage is done to the area. As you're going along solving these puzzles, you pick up a robot, one of those floating eyeball things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure. They exist in lots of games, that type thing. Sure.
Right. So get drone. Floating eyeball. He has to interact with everything for you. So occasionally.
Does he have a name? What's his name? Tell me his name. Do we know his name?
His name is Arse.
Arse?
No, it's A-S-E. Azzy is what they call it. But it looks like Arse.
Okay.
But it's not. He's an A-S-E unit. I think his arrow something environmental. Okay. So. Anyway, Wheatley. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Sure.
The chat room says. Yeah. So so Wheatley here, or my ASE, you can control him remotely. So you'll get into certain areas where you'll have to use him to complete the puzzle, to solve the puzzle. There's lots of locks up in space, man. They got everything with a keypad. You're constantly looking for some number. It's like, oh, no, what's the number to open this area? I'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
The fun thing about this game. Is probably going to be the pacing because they artificially, you know, I don't like in games when the story tells me you need to hurry in this area and then they don't penalize you if you don't hurry.
Mm.
I don't like that. If you're going to tell me to hurry, you better make a point.
Mm.
And this game makes a point a lot of times. So like if it says you need to hurry, all of a sudden, oh yeah, you better hurry because it's a countdown. Usually involving oxygen. This guy right here walking around in a spacesuit, he can't see it, but you, watching as a third-person perspective, can see there's a little oxygen counter clock on his back. And I think the maximum time for oxygen is about 3 minutes. So there's a lot of puzzles where you have to actually, you're out in space and you're floating around, super slow, and you're trying to get to the next area, and it's like, oh my God,
the times are
just clicking away.
Nothing I love more than timed events in video games. My favorite
right.
thing in
hey,
the world.
I'm not big into timed events sometimes, but they play it pretty well here. Mm. I mean, and the penalty for death is kind of high, because there's a really long loading screen in between each. Mm. You get knocked back to the last checkpoint, but the loading screen is what kills it. It's like, no, why is there a loading screen almost like 45 seconds, which is forever? And this is on the Xbox Game Pass.
Well, that's supposed to all go away. We get these new consoles. Load times are supposed to be a thing of the past. So
this is also, like I said, this is on the Ultimate. It happened on the PC as well. I'll be honest with you. I have the Xbox One S, and I think that's probably underpowered for the Unreal Engine 4 they're using here and how they've got it configured. Because I was seeing what I thought were like frame drops, sluggish video occasionally, but not game breaking most of the time. Not most of the time.
That's good.
But it was a little bit annoying occasionally. But
I can see a little bit of frame rate drop as you're playing here.
Yeah. It is, and it's not always terrible, but sometimes it would get really bad in areas where there's a lot of things being rendered. Mm-hmm. You'll see here the rocket is actually, I'm launching the rocket and turn it on. There's a timer. You better believe it, because I'm the only person there, and I've got to do everything. I've got to prime the rocket. I got to find all the codes. I got to then run to the rocket, get in the rocket, and then perform all the duties therein to launch my rocket, which is a lot. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But
launch that rocket. So we used to prime in the rockets, a regular event at my house on Saturday night.
Absolutely. Time to prime the rocket, kids.
Mm-hmm. No, well, hopefully but, not the kids. But yeah,
I think I'm about 80% done with this game. I didn't quite finish the end because some of the challenges are starting to get a little harder. There's some really cool parts of the game where you have to drive around these lunar vehicles, and I really enjoyed that part. It's such a small part of the game that it's almost amazing that they spent the time actually even doing it, because most of it is just getting in the vehicle, driving to a location, pulling up on some pressure plates like you would if you were going to a car wash. You know how you get in a car wash and you have to like pull so far forward and you have to stop right when it says to, and you have like the big old anxiety attacks, like, mm-hmm. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that, and then you just basically get out. But the driving of the vehicle in that zero gravity is just a lot of fun. And so there's a lot of love and passion in this game, and I dug it so far. But I'm just about done, and once I'm done, I'm probably never going back to this world. So it's a one-off. So if you have Xbox Game Pass, pick it up. It's plan accordingly.
Sure.
Whether or not you would want to purchase this game or not, because the story's pretty decent. There's a little intrigue going on. Why did the moon base stop sending power? What happened to the people that were there? And your little Wheatley character can play back conversations that happened before, like holograms almost, but they're not like super holograms. They're more like super hot holograms. Mm. You know that game Super mm-hmm. Hot,
yeah.
Where the kind of everything's kind of blocking everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll play back kind of like holograms like that. And but I found that pretty interesting.
Nice.
So it's on the Xbox Game Pass. Both it's the Ultimate, so it's for the PC and the Xbox. And like I said, you can also pick it up on, I believe, Steam. And I think the price is fairly reasonable. I think it was on like 19 or 24 bucks or something like that.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's a good solid 10-12 hour game if you're like looking for being the kind of completist.
All right.
This game was called Deliver Us the Moon. Also another week title for me this week. I've had some trouble with some of these titles. People ask me, what game did you play? And I'm like, Deliver Moons. Moon Delivery.
Moondelivery.com, yeah.
Moon Delivery. And then, well, it was the other thing. It was like Remnant, Ashy Remnants, Remnant, Fire, Level Head.
Yep, see? Easy to remember. Level Head.
Yeah, right.
Piece of cake.
A little
super
trouble.
Simple. Level Head. Bye.
Butterscotch.
All right, I have to. I'm a person who is happily and humbly always willing to admit when he's wrong. So I'm about to make an admission here on the show.
Make it.
Are you ready?
Do it.
Back in episode 239, I talked about Avernum 2: Escape from the Pit on the PC.
So it's like. It was like 10 episodes ago. Was it like 10?
Not even that many.
That is hilarious. I thought maybe I'd seen it somewhere.
Six episodes ago, we talked about it. It was on one where we had Ori and the Will of the Wisps was the main game that you and I both played. And I completely forgot that I'd already talked about it. I don't know why I forgot that. This is like on Film Sack. We're always sure we've seen movies we haven't seen.
Right. Right.
I think it's because
so much fun. Like,
I think it's because I keep returning to this thing and I keep coming back to this game. And I think part of it was I installed it on my Mac so that it was just sort of around when I'm doing work stuff. And I'm like, oh, I need 5 minutes and I'll just go do this. And in my head, I'm like, oh, man, I really need to talk to this about the Boop Show, not thinking that I already done it. So, yeah, you're right.
Thank you for your honesty, sir.
And to that guy earlier who I gave a 600-second timeout to, I apologize. You didn't deserve that, except you were kind of being a dick otherwise. But honestly, I shouldn't have done that for that.
600-second timeout? Well,
whatever the timeout is.
Right.
It says right here. It says timeout. Oh, I'm clicking it. Greg, I'm not going to click it. Okay, I promise.
Oh, God.
Yeah, 600
did you
seconds.
For Walkman?
600 seconds. I'd never, dude, Greg's oh, too yeah. good of a dude. Okay, I'd never good. Do that. So anyway, I effed that up. I've talked about that game before. All right, let's do... Ooh, I got an idea. How about this?
Great.
No, no, wrong one.
It's a me, Mario.
All right, time to play Guess My Game. Oh, we should mention you did give some time to Gears Tactics, and it's pretty rad, isn't it? I talked about that.
Oh, I love this Gears Tactics. I think we might have talked about it just briefly, but maybe just me and you talked about
it.
Yeah,
maybe it was just off air. I can't remember. But
XCOM type is in the Gear Tactics world. So, I mean...
It's so good.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's really good. I need to finish it. Also on Game Pass, and presumably will be there forever because it's a Microsoft product.
Right.
It's very, very good. Okay. Also, I'm playing a lot of Animal Crossing. It's kind of a problem. Honestly, I have an addiction.
Yeah, yeah,
it's real bad.
Yeah.
Just every day I'm in there doing my chores.
Every day.
It's real bad. All right. Let's guess each other's games. These are audio clips from old games that we try to guess from one another. I'm going to play mine first and see if you can't figure out what it is. All right, Brian? So here we go.
Give it to me.
Check it out. Got some MIDI music. Give it a sec. We'll get some actual voice here in a second, which was kind of intense at the time.
At last, you are asleep.
This is so familiar.
For three nights, each attempt to rest has brought you starting from your bed in fright, with no memory of what horrified you so.
Okay, one quick note. Video games got better over time at not having the music be louder than the guy who's talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's,
you know what I mean?
Because the voice wasn't MIDI, it was wave, and the music was MIDI, and so I wonder how they...
The MIDI went higher than the man. Anyway, here's more.
A sickening sense of deja vu, you begin to dream.
Treachery and doom. My brother will unleash a great evil. Britannia is in peril.
Sure that the ghost can take you to Britannia, you allow yourself to be drawn to him.
A visitor, and from far away indeed. Were he not dead, I'd suspect my brother sent thee. No matter, thou shalt serve.
Definitely
to draw
played
the
this, but what is
set.
It?
Does it sound familiar? Okay, here's actual gameplay. That was all cutscenes.
It's 90 is all Get Out.
90s, I mean, PC game is a big hit.
Right.
If you're out of guesses or if you don't have a guess, I can tell you.
I can't think of it. I can see the pixel art. I can see the sprites that it's made with. I can see everything, but I can't think of it.
They would demo a lot of CD-ROM systems. People like 486 single-speed CD-ROMs would be like, listen to this game. You won't believe the sound on this thing.
Right,
all right. The game is Ultima Underworld. Remember that? Ultima
Underworld. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ultima Underworld. And also had like another little extended part of the name. Hold on. Ultima Underworld had a full name. The Stygian Abyss was the colon.
Oh, okay.
Title came out in March of 1992.
Did I get this on a demo CD in a magazine?
You might have.
It feels like that's where I remember playing this.
The cover is freaking... So it jumps at me so hard. Hold on, I'll put it in our Discord here. Hold on, what's taking so long, Discord? There you go.
Check come on, Discord, out. You can do it. I believe in you.
You know you've seen that before, that image. That's very common. Anyway, it was published by Origin Systems. Blue Sky Productions built the thing, although Blue Sky Productions became another company that's still working today. They are now Looking Glass.
Right.
And I don't know what they make now, but anyway.
I want to play this, but I have a feeling that it is going to be like the worst trash game ever. That it's just like it blew us away back in the day, but I feel like it's just not replayable. What do you think?
Probably not. I like it. It was pretty novel at the time. It was using an engine that was, you know, a lot of people thought even Doom couldn't do as well. Like there was some really cool, like angly stuff happening within this engine, but right. It was very Doom like. It could probably be remade, but not remastered. You'd need to remake this. Yeah. You'd need to start from scratch and say, all right, what is this today? What could you make out of this today?
Yeah, I don't think the story beats. I think the interaction with the game probably wouldn't be nearly as compelling as it was back then.
At the time, though, man, it was just unbelievably cool. And
I think it's probably blew me away mostly because of the audio stuff, because in the early 90s, when this stuff first started coming out, it was just, it was like going from black and white film to color film for us. I think it was kind of like, oh, look at this. Oh, I'm like my Encyclopedia Britannica. Mm-hmm. Was it what was it? Was it Microsoft? Which one was it they had? That had the, was it the Britannica?
Oh yeah, the Britannica. The yeah, no, not Britannica. It was called.
It wasn't Britannica. It was
Encarta. Encarta. Microsoft.
Encarta. That's it. Yeah. Encarta. Oh yeah. God,
that was a big deal.
Oh my God, I used to sit for hours and just do stupid crap on
it's
Encarta.
So dumb though now, because who cares now, right? Like
it's the most inefficient way to gather information.
I mean, there's not even an Encarta.com anymore. Wikipedia just ruined it. Yeah. So yeah,
the search was terrible.
Yeah. At the time though, it was like, ooh, multimedia, I'm gonna look up whales. Ooh, here's a whale sound.
They got a whale video. This really pixelated. And yep. Let's watch that too. Yep. Oh,
yep. This is all true. By the way, I looked it up. Looking Glass Studios ended up closing in 2000. However, they're responsible for things like System Shock and like Ken Levine, who would go on to do the BioShock games and all that. Let's see, Jonathan Che and Robert Femirier, however you say his name. Split from Looking Glass to do Irrational Games. Jane's Attack Squadron, a game canceled from the studio's closure, was picked up and finished by Mad Dog Software. I don't remember that game at all. Floodgate. Oh, so these guys, it all eventually rolled into Zynga. Zynga bought them all and merged it into Zynga Boston.
Dang you, Zynga.
Yeah. That's so
weird. Is Zynga
weird
still
to me.
Around? Didn't they get bought too? It seems like. They were buying up everything for a while.
There is a new System Shock coming out, though, so something got...
Man, when System Shock came out, I mean, that blew my mind. Mm-hmm. That was another moment in PC history that I was like,
oh my
wow.
gosh, Terra Nova, I remember that.
Yeah.
They had Ultima Underworld 2, Labyrinth of Worlds, and I don't think that did as well. It came out the next year. Let's see. Later, you got Flight Unlimited 3, Thief, The Dark Project, amazing game for its time. Command and Conquer. Mm-hmm. They didn't do the original Command and Conquer. They did the N64 port of Command and Conquer. System Shock 2, Flight Unlimited 3, Destruction Derby 64, Thief 2, and Jane's Attack Squadron, which was canceled and finished by Mad Dog Software in 2002. So there you go.
Have you seen this new System Shock stuff?
Yeah, it looks great.
Oh, it looks so cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. It could be neat. All right, here is your clip. Let's see if I can figure it out. Boom! Oh, this is, this is Shinobi. Is this Shinobi?
Kind of sounds like Shinobi, doesn't it?
But not Shinobi?
I bet they probably reused a lot of this audio for Shinobi.
Oh, it's a Sega game, is it?
No, this is actually NES.
Oh, is this NES?
So that's a good point. The catch we got was from the NES.
It's not Karateka. Chatroom says Karateka.
No, cool. I wish it was Karateka. You definitely would know Karateka. That's slow-mo. It's like, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, what was that weird laugh? I could hear it again. Is it
nice?
Shaq Fu is 16-bit, chat. This got to be like...
But you're close with the Fu.
Kung Fu. Just Kung Fu?
Kung Fu with the NES.
Oh, this is the old Konami game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Konami?
Is it Konami? Hold on a second. Let me look.
Why does that jump into my head? It's an old Konami game.
I don't know.
Kung Fu game. Let's see. Kung Fu Master? No.
Yeah.
Was it Kung Fu Master?
I think it was called Kung Fu Master as well. I think that was what was actually... No, that wasn't it. Yeah, what? No,
that was an arcade game.
No, that wasn't the same one.
I can't find it. It's in here somewhere. Kung Fu Heroes?
Kung Fu is a little sillier looking.
Oh, Kung Fu. Here it is. This is... Oh, I'm sorry. It's not them at all. It's Nihon Games, published by Taiyo and Keat Corp in the arcade, arcade version, and then the NES version. I don't think I ever... So this is Kung Fu Heroes is the game you're talking about, right?
No, this is actually Kung Fu, the NES card.
Well, this is an NES game with like bubbly head looking dudes.
NES, this guy right here, right? Let's see, my iPad there.
Oh, different. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's the Nintendo published one.
Yeah.
All right. Look at you with the weird pick this week. That's a good one. I like it. I would have never gotten that. I don't think I played it. Yeah. Was it good? I don't remember it being good. Was it good?
It was in my library. How's that?
All right. No, that's fine.
Yeah. It was like, it was a good, a lot of games that were just, you know.
It's good enough.
I forget how I picked it up, but I had it and I played it some. I didn't play it through, you know, to completion or anything, but, you know, it'd be fun to pop it in the old console from time to time.
Yep. Stick it in there. Rub it around a little bit. I understand. All right, that music means time for an email from listeners. We got two today I'm going to read, and these are short.
Two.
Here's one from Sarah. It says, Scott and Brian, I found a little game in the Nintendo Switch shop that I thought you guys might like. It's called Moving Out. It is a really weird game that I tried the demo for. So, Brian, it's got a demo. I had fun with the demo, and now I'm deciding if I want to buy the game or not. The game made me think of you. Stay safe. Best, Sarah.
That's a good pick, because I looked at that game this past week as well, mm-hmm. and it was might even been featured in one of my little feeds on there on my Switch, and I almost picked it up. Yeah, I had cruised past Levelhead because I was like, that sounds stupid, and kept on going. I think that was one of the ones I looked at. Moving Out kind of looked like a... Overcooked 2?
Yeah,
it
they're kind of. Like it seems like that's kind of what they're aiming for, is kind of an Overcooked kind of deal. Multiplayer says this. Here's the description on the Steam page. Moving Out is a ridiculous physics based moving simulator that brings the new meaning to the couch co op. Are you ready for an exciting career in moving furniture? As newly certified furniture arrangement and relocation technician, you'll take a moving job all across the busy town of Packmore. Because get it? Packmore. Because you pack more.
Because you pack more.
Yeah, it looks like you have to like work together to move your shit. And when you do, like you grab the refrigerator and all the stuff falls out of the refrigerator. So you got to be careful. It looks like fun, though. Can you play this by yourself? It does say you can.
I'm sure you could. Free Ranger said what I kind of thought. I thought I saw it on Game Pass as well. It might be.
Oh, look at this. Wow. Oh, yeah, this is on Game Pass. All right. Switch is probably a good version for this, though, I'd imagine. Seems like
I would think so.
Fun place to play it, yeah.
Especially with my Game Pass expiring soon.
Yeah, good call. You should get the PC Game Pass and keep it. It's very good.
I might do that, but I might just re-up. I got a $25 Xbox gift card that I got.
It's only $5
a month ago.
Freaking $5. Who's that? How's that going to hurt you? And if you haven't done the Bank Game Pass on PC by itself yet, I think you still get the like $2 starting thing or something.
Well, it's been a while since I've been on my PS4, and I was kind of thinking about getting the PlayStation Plus again just to do that for a while. I don't want to have both of the Game Passes for, you know, at the same time, because I will definitely ignore one. But I kind of want to give PS4 Sony a little more love before the new Xbox comes out, because once it comes out, I'm definitely heading over there.
I think I am too. I'm starting to get excited. I need to see more about Sony's business, but I don't know. Getting excited about new consoles despite the weird financial state of the world right now, so who knows what'll happen by this fall. But anyway, there's that. Hey, one more. This is from Damon. He says, Scott.
Damon.
And this is so unrelated to the show, but this is where it came to. It came to the he used the website to send this, so I'm going to read it. He says, Scott, should I watch the first three Mad Max movies before watching Mad Max Fury Road? I haven't seen any of them yet. Thanks. Love all your work. All right. This is a tough call. I'm going to recommend you see the new one first. I'm going to recommend Fury Road first. It is a masterpiece. And then go back and watch the old stuff. There's nothing wrong with them, especially two. I really like Road Warrior. It's fun. The first movie does not hold up so well, but historically, it's an interesting piece of film
it's
making. It's important, yes.
It's kind of like the Terminator. The first Terminator movie is kind of a hard watch.
It's not as good as two, right? It's not as good as two, but you should probably see it. It's important. The third one with Tina Turner and the whole Thunderdome deal,
that one's fun.
Is not the best work that George Miller's ever done, but it's still fun and stupid, so it's worth seeing. However, don't see any of these first. See Mad Max Fury Road first, a modern masterpiece, the greatest action film ever made, maybe. Certainly in the last 20 years, the best one.
And you don't need anything from the first three movies to enjoy Fury Road.
No,
because
you do
I watched it with several people, the Fury Road, and they've never seen any of the Mad Max films, and they were fine.
Yeah. That new one, though, is something that will last until the end of mankind. It's so good. All right. There's that, and that's it. Thanks for your messages. You can send them two ways, boopshow@gmail.com, or you can just do it on the little form that's on the page at frogpants.com/BOOP. All right, so that's how you do it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Boop Show. You can follow Brian at TheBrianDunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And the show is at Boop Show. All right, Brian, is there anything important you want to tell the people before we leave today?
Yes, I have a whole pocket full of turnips. Oh. I need a place to sell them.
You want me to find out what my... Right after this, I'll find out what my place is.
I'm going to find out right now.
You should do that. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Stay safe. Goodbye.
I don't like steam. I love steam.
Or if I play this.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.